حزب الأشقاء بطالب بالوقف مع مصر. ده كان في القطار بتاع كسل الشهير اللي هو قام زي قطار عبر الحسة ده. ده كان أول قطار اللي دعم ثورة أكتوبر، قام من كسلة وقابلناه، نحن طلعنا من المدرسة قابلناه في المحطة جنب المدرسة، هتفنا مع الثوار وبعد ذلك واصل الخرطوم. ثالثة بعد ذلك أبوي نقل إلى مدينة خشم القربة، وكان مدينة فيها زخم كبير، شركات عالمية كبيرة بيبنوا في الخزان والحلفة الجديدة والقرى بتاع الحلفاويين وقنوات الري وتأسيس مشروع حلفة جديدة، فكان فيها شركات من كل العالم.
Please, everyone, welcome Dr. Simon Broughton, who is a TBD in South London for ST1 to ST5, and he's also a SIM leading King's Hospital. And also he's like more of an insider, right, Simon, when it comes to training and recruitment in the college. I'm sure we will enjoy some of your tips, some of the insider tips, when it comes to the application. Thank you.
Nice to meet you, everybody. Apologies for being so late. Work was, I'm actually, I'm not TPD anymore. So I am the Royal College lead for recruitment though. So I am the kind of key person, I guess, in charge of recruitment from a clinical perspective for the country. And I'm also clinical director at King's now, which is why I've been busy for the last hour or so sorting out logistics. So rather than preparing a presentation and kind of going through the each question bit by bit, I thought it was just good to give you an overall guide to what we want when we're marking shortlisting forms. Because ultimately what you're after is for the shortlister to give you the point that you're trying to demonstrate. And you want to score the maximum number of points on shortlisting as possible to enable you then to be near the top to get an interview. Now last year, this is probably not going to be good news to you, but it is the truth. Last year we interviewed about 200 to 220 people for about 50 jobs. And this year we're going to be interviewing significantly less, because when you're interviewing 5 to 1 for each job, it's can be a bit, you know, it's not a good use of anybody's time. So we're going to be aiming to be interviewing about 3 people for every job that's available. So we will be interviewing less people this year, which does mean the shortlisting is so important to get you further up the tree so that you are shortlisted and then interviewed. I'm happy to come back and talk about the interview at another time and to go through that, but let's focus on shortlisting. So the questions are clearly are very clear, and the marking schedule that the shortlisters have is very clear. So they can only give you the points that are on the marking schedule. Most of this is published on the Royal College website. So I really, really recommend that you go through everything on the Royal College website and try to decipher exactly what it is that they want from each question. Now, when you're shortlisting 50 or 60 forms, it's really exhausting. And so you need to be able to write down succinctly, and I'm going to use that word frequently today, be succinct in everything that you do and say on your form to make it easy for the person to mark. When people write really flowery, long sentences, you know, I've loved pediatrics since I was a neonate myself. I knew when I was 3 months of age, I knew that I wanted to be a pediatrician, and it filled me with a warm heart desire. Honestly, it ends up making us want to vomit. I am highly committed to a career in pediatrics and have known this before I went into medicine. Full stop. That's all you need to say. Anything more than that is superfluous, and it ends up putting the backup of the shortlister, which I know sounds crazy, but it's true, because you've got to, you know, you have to read so many of these. So be succinct, use bullet points if possible to, so if it's a question about clinical competencies that you can demonstrate with a view to being ready for ST4, then the key clinical competencies that we want to see are competencies that are consistent with the NLS, neonatal life support competencies, that you're able to safely manage a term baby who's born unexpectedly flat at birth, that you have the ability to carry out resuscitation, to be able to intubate the baby, and you've done so with or without kind of supervision. And also we want to know about your advanced pediatric life support skills, that you're able to carry out a resuscitation of the standard pediatric kind of condition. So we would expect you to be able to manage, you know, asthma, DKA, seizures, sepsis, bronchiolitis, and we'd expect you to have good knowledge of infection control issues, in particular around COVID. So all these points need to be made really succinctly. And the final thing we really want to see is safeguarding. So if you can tick the neonatal life support box, the advanced pediatric life support box, and the safeguarding box, you're going to score most marks in that domain. And it's just about saying them succinctly. It's perfectly reasonable to say that you've done 30 UVCs, 30 UACs, 50 intubations. That's fine, because it's a fact. But just keep it as succinct and factual as possible to make it really easy for the marker to give the marks. I'll maybe pause there and see if anybody's got any questions about that.
That's brilliant. So we are now also like streaming the application guide, just for to remind people about it as well. Yeah. Are there any burning questions when it comes to the clinical skills and clinical skills, basically? Please pop them in the chat, please.
And if you've got a particular set of skills pertaining to a pediatric specialty, say if you've done pediatric renal and you've had some experience in dialysis, if you've done pediatric infectious diseases and have seen loads of COVID or loads of PIMS-TS, obviously that goes in there as well. And it is that additional, that could be the thing that gets you the fifth point. With that kind of wide bit of experience, but it's about being succinct and demonstrating exactly what you've done in terms of competencies. There's not really the space in this question and answer for you to be able to demonstrate your reflection on those competencies. This is more about just demonstrating your clinical competencies.
I had a question, Simon, when it comes to the skills, please. One of the applicants was asking if we should provide some like personal examples of some patients, so just to give it more of depth.
So if you've got the space, then examples are always useful, but you might find that patient stories go better into the personal statement at the end. Because there isn't that much, I can't remember what the word count is that you have for this. It's like 500 words or something. It's not there is a limit to the word count. So I would definitely make sure that you've demonstrated all the competencies that you've got. But if you can put patient stories into the personal statement at the end, I think that would be really powerful.
Yeah, thank you for that.
So what's the next domain? So the next domain is clinical experience and reflection. So this is more about reflecting on your experiences so far and how they've influenced you going forward. So you can see here that it says no relevant clinical experience. I mean, no one's going to write nothing in this box. Some experience, but with little direct relevance to pediatrics. So maybe the person's written about their experience in another career, like GP or something, which can be important, but just doesn't particularly help with a pediatric application. And then the next one is about some experience, but it's a bit unfocused, a bit superficial, not organized, and a bit of a, you know, quite difficult to decipher exactly what it is that the person's saying. And then you're getting up towards the high scores. So some specific examples of experience demonstrating relevance to specialty and own development. This is the reflection box. And so this might be more where you put your patient stories in here. I saw a patient who came in with septic shock, who, you know, on arrival, a one-year-old had a pulse of 200 and a systolic blood pressure of 50, needed to be intubated, ventilated and resuscitated and given 60 mils per kilo of fluid. The child had a really good outcome, and the reason for the really good outcome was the excellent teamwork that we all demonstrated working together with good leadership and good management of the team. So this will be a good place to put your patient stories. And then the four marks goes where someone's given a range of experiences referring clearly to relevant career in pediatrics. So does that make sense? Put your patients into this box?
Yeah, it does make sense. And how to maximize your score when it comes to this, Simon? Especially with the last statement, it says to has led to own development.
So this is the reflection box. So you want to talk about your experience, what your reflection was on that, and then how that reflection has led you to be more focused on a career in pediatrics and why. So, if someone, with ST3-4, everybody's going to have 2 or 3 years of pediatric experience to be able to pull upon. So they should all be able to give some good patient reflections and then link that to why they want to do pediatrics. You know, maybe a difficult safeguarding case that you saw handled really well by a consultant. The way that the consultant behaved and managed the family and dealt with the child with such an empathic style inspired you to want to do pediatrics. But it's about linking the patient story to the reflection, to your desire to do a career in pediatrics, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So what's the next box?
So the next one is about quality improvement and audits.
Yeah, so this is a box that's generally easy to do, but badly done. So not many people score maximum points here, because to score maximum points on the quality improvement project, you need to talk about what the reason for the quality improvement project was, how you carried it out, and to describe your PDSA cycle and who your team member was and what your exact role was within that team. And you then need to talk about reflection on the outcome of your first PDSA cycle, and then what interventions you carried out before running your second PDSA cycle and maybe third. So the thing that people write here is, I've carried out quality improvement project on the management of urinary tract infections in the emergency department. Doesn't tell me anything. It doesn't tell me the design of the quality improvement project, doesn't tell me why they've done the quality improvement project, doesn't tell me if it's linked to the NICE guideline, and it doesn't tell me about what change happened and how that change was sustained. So to score maximum points here, you need to give me what was the reason for the QIP, who was in the QIP team and what your role was, describe the PDSA cycle to quite a high level of description, what the what the analysis demonstrated, and then what the plan for the next PDSA cycle was and how change was sustained. And if you do that, then you are going to be scoring 3 or 4 points here. And you see that to score three, you need to have evidence of having designed, led, and presented a good quality audit stroke quality improvement project at a local meeting. And so you need to talk through the quality improvement project, talk about what the outcome was, and then talk about where it was recruited and how change was sustained, and maybe then how it led on to the development of the guideline. But to score 4 points, it's about that regular involvement. So you might say, you know, I've done this quality improvement project 2 years ago, this one 1 year ago, this, and then describe them both and what the change that was and what change was sustained. So don't just give a list of, you know, I've done quality improvement projects on the following areas. You'll score 0 points because it doesn't actually tell us anything. This is about having been involved, designed, led, and presented. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about an audit, then link the audit to whatever guideline or standard is that you're auditing against. So if it's like an audit on the management of children under the age of 3 who present with a fever linked to the NICE guideline, that's fine. You know, talk about the audit, how you carried it out, how many patients you audited, and what the findings were, and then what change was recommended subsequently following from the audit. But you need to give a lot of detail. And again, I go back to that word succinct, because a lot of people write a lot of stuff in this box and score very little for it because they haven't actually said anything. I know I'm being a bit harsh, but I just want people to really understand that it comes down to exactly what you write, because that's all that we can mark against.
No, I think that's very useful. We've had some questions when it comes to in this section, Simon. Yeah. Some of the applicants haven't done a lot of audits, but they might have been involved like in quality improvement projects or in service revision. What's the best way to maximize their points here?
So I think describe your role within the project, you know, and be perfectly honest. It's perfectly reasonable to say, you know, in the hospital I work in, you know, quality improvement is still something which is beginning to evolve. However, I've been involved in these projects and have actively engaged with the quality improvement team. And these are the projects that I've been involved with. This is how we did it. This is how we designed the project. My role was this, and this was what we found. And then we then presented the findings. You probably will only score 2 points for saying that, but 2 points is a lot more than zero.
Yeah.
You know, it's so it's difficult because this is very much a it's a recruitment for especially ST4, so it's a recruitment for doctors who are going to be able to work at ST3, ST4 level, and so it is something which, you know, which is standard practice within the UK, but is less well done outside of the UK. And we're aware of that, but it is necessary. It is nevertheless an essential skill if you're going to be a UK general doctor. I can't change that, unfortunately. It's something which is all Royal Colleges seek for in their appointment process, for especially for ST3, ST4 entry. It's less important for ST1 because it can be trained. But for ST3, ST4, you expect some knowledge of this.
No, that's very useful. Thank you very much for that, Simon.
Yeah.
So the next one is about leadership and management, and it's always difficult.
Yeah, again, it's a difficult box if you're not working in the UK, because I think the leadership and management doesn't just need to be from medicine. You know, if you're involved in running and leading a book group, running and leading a football team or a cricket team or something, you know, you will be able to demonstrate organizational skills, team management skills. So you can put those in anyway. It doesn't just need to be medicine. Obviously, it's easier to describe in medicine. And the kind of things described here, you know, are once you get to 3 to 2 points, even they're quite hard to demonstrate. You know, a lead role at undergraduate, junior doctor in local organization within university medical school department. That's only scoring you 2 points. Not many people score 3 or 4 points on this domain. So you could imagine that, you know, lead role and undergraduate junior doctor at a regional or national level, very few people have done that. And then the level above that in terms of presenting it at a national level, at national conference with, I don't think I've ever given 4 points for this, but we need to have the option for giving 4 points. For the people that have really encapsulated this as being one of the things that they're particularly good at. So, you know, it's perfectly reasonable for you to aim to get 2 points on this box. That would probably be the average number of points that would be scored. And so talk about your role in running the rota, working with undergraduates and junior doctors, and in particular, focusing on what you're doing around patient safety. So if you've helped to organize a junior doctor rota, and you've focused on patient safety, then that will score highly within this domain. But this is a box that we are looking at because we think it needs to be more generic than what it is. The wording for this has really come from National Health England. I see some questions have arrived and I can't read them, but if you could read out the questions, that would be fab.
Yes, I can, yes. So one question is about being a BMA representative. Is that a national or regional? Would that be like it's called national or regional?
So if you're a BMA representative, I think that would get you a national. It can be either. But certainly if you've worked with the BMA on behalf of junior doctors, you're definitely scoring 3 or 4 points, definitely.
Perfect. And there was another question when it comes to the leadership role is about undergraduate leadership roles. Yep. And will they be asked to provide any kind of evidence, like written evidence? Because it might be a bit tricky to get any evidence for any undergraduate activities.
I mean, if you say something, then you may need to back it up. But that can just be an email from, someone who was in the department just saying, this doctor ran this role for this particular period of time. You wouldn't need a certificate, but probably just some, if you say something, you can then be asked for it at interview. So, my daughter's 17 and she says that she's a figure skater. Well, she's not really. She can ice skate, but she, she's kind of over egging the custard in her university application. And so I'm kind of having that conversation with her about maybe you should just say you're interested in skating. And so, but instead she's selling it as being a figure skater. She's a good ice skater, don't get me wrong. But so if you are going to say something about then it would be worth just having, even if it's just an email from the consultant or from the department to say, yeah, I agree that this person helped with this during this period of time. And then if you're asked for it, you've got it. If you haven't got it, then just be honest about it. If you're asked for it, say, I haven't got the evidence. I'm really sorry. I think it's just about being honest. So, any other questions about that, or should we move on to the next domain? This is, so we've actually reduced significantly the academic points for scoring on these application forms. It used to be that academics scored twice, so potentially you got up to 8 points for academia. So we've reduced that a lot. So if you've been involved in research, you know, and you've been involved with and presented a paper at a regional or national conference, you're going to be scoring, you know, 3 points straight away. So it is, but you know, not many people are going to have published as first or last author or given an international presentation. So it's only really people that have been tied into research groups that would have done that. But it's not, in, you know, it's quite easy to get 2 or 3 points on this domain if you've done any aspects of research so far. But obviously, we do need to reward people who have taken research as part of their progress so far. And again, just be succinct. You know, if you've published 5 papers, great, you're almost certainly going to score 4 points. But we, you know, if you haven't, just describe what you have done so far, and that will be used to add up the score. Any questions on that? If I'm involved in data collection for an ongoing study, how will I phrase it? I think you phrase it as that. You say, you know, so that would probably say, oh, I've got an echo. So that would be described superficial involvement in a research project leading to a local presentation, or it may even be good description of presentation, but you need to talk about your involvement, what you've done, and what the project is. You know, it has to be, you would need to be able to demonstrate that you've done that as well. But any other questions on that?
No, I can't see further questions.
You designed a hypothetical research as part of a master's degree. So I think it does need to be a, you know, a research project which is ongoing and is actually being carried out for children. Obviously, you know, you can say that you've got an interest in research and designing research projects, but I don't think a hypothetical research project would score that many points, I'm afraid. The next box after that is teaching.
Another question I had,
it's about presenting in German clubs.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. If you've, you know, if you've sort of gone through a critical analysis of a paper, and in particular, if you've used a critical analysis presentation design, you know, you've talked through a particular, you know, structure for analyzing papers, and you've presented that at a journal club, and in particular, if it's then gone on to lead to a change in practice, then that's worth, definitely worth putting in. It probably will only score you 1 or 2 points, but, you know, again, it comes back to the 1 or 2 points is a lot better than none. I think presenting in journal clubs, you know, would be a reasonable way to score 1 or 2 points, depending on how you word it. I would definitely link in the fact that you carried out a critical analysis. And if you haven't done, then I would make sure you do before the interview, do a proper critical analysis.
Sorry, can you hear me, Simon?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, you are clear. I think Khalid has got some signal issues. That's why he was checking.
Okay. So put those things in. You will score something for it. Sorry, say again. I can hear somebody, but
No, I think it was a mic by mistake. You can move on, I think, to the teaching section. I think you are muted, Simon.
There you go. Yeah. Sorry. So this is a bit more descriptive. And So you can describe your participation in some local teaching or give some evidence of teaching that you've done. And the key thing about teaching is to score good points, is you need to describe that you've delivered a teaching session, you then collected feedback, you reflected on the feedback, and you changed subsequent teaching sessions on the basis of feedback. So if you want to score 3 or 4 points, you need to have been able to demonstrate that you've designed, you've led, and you've then collected feedback on teaching, which has then been delivered. And then if you can describe a range of different styles, if you talk about bedside teaching, small group, lectures, webinars, talk about the use of Zoom, Teams-based teaching, you're more likely to score good points here. But do definitely make sure you include, I presented this to this group of medical students, collected the feedback at the end, assuming you did. This was the feedback. I changed subsequent teaching sessions, and the teaching sessions carry on to evolve. So that's how you score good points here. Does that make sense?
It does, actually. Sorry for losing the signal before. A common question we had before, Simon, was if someone has designed a teaching rota, should they put it here or in the management bit?
I'd probably put it in both, because you may get points in both sections for that. So if it is, if you've designed a teaching rota that's implemented across the department, then it demonstrates your organizational managerial score, as well as your commitment to teaching skills. So I think I'll put it in both. And it may be that the same, so what often happens is the shortlisters shortlist one or two questions, but rather than shortlisting the entire form on everybody, they'll shortlist one or two questions on many people. So it may well be that you get two different shortlisters anyway. But if it fits into both boxes, I will put it in both.
Perfect. That's very useful. Thank you very much for that.
So then you come on to the final box, and this is the main box where people let themselves down, really. So again, it comes back to the writing needs to be succinct, and it needs to be focused, and it needs to be structured. The maximum number of points are available here. And so you can talk about, why, what made you want to do pediatrics, why you want to do pediatrics, how you've demonstrated that so far in your career so far, what you want to achieve going forward and what your plans are, and then linking that to your own personal attributes, possibly linking it to role models, who's inspired you to want to do pediatrics, and then why. So if you're going to reference a particular person who's inspired
recording
you,
in progress.
Talk about what their behaviors were that inspired you. So it's not very helpful if you say, my professor, I find really inspirational. Doesn't tell anybody anything. But if you say, my professor is a true inspiration, he listens to everybody, assimilates all of the information, make sure everybody understands, includes everybody, everybody has a voice, and he helps to maintain patient safety by listening to parents and to the children and taking on the team's opinions. That tells you why you think the person is an inspiration. So if you are going to talk about someone, talk about what their behaviors are and how they've inspired you and why. What I would do is I would probably write this out and maybe write it out with double the amount of words and then condense it. And then get 3 or 4 people to read it before you submit it. So because this is really where the, you want to be scoring at least 4 points on this box, at least 4 points. And you should really be aiming to score 5 or 6. And you'll do that through being succinct and kind of being clear about what your commitment to pediatrics and why and who your role models were and what your kind of motivations are going forward. So any questions?
I think that's very useful. Some people were asking if you suggest any format when it comes to the statement. Some people would suggest a C-camp format or any other a kind of template when you write your statement, or do you think it should be very like more of personal?
I think I don't have a strict format, but what I would say is using fairly short paragraphs. Don't write, 10 sentence paragraphs, because they're really difficult to read and to decipher all the content that is within the paragraph. Try to use, even bullet points are reasonable to use. You just want to make it really easy for the shortlister to kind of, look at it, work out what is the point that this person's trying to make? How have they said it? What is the evidence that they're saying is kind of backing it up, or what their motivations are? And then they'll give you the point. But sometimes when people write really dense, long paragraphs, it can have brilliant information in it, but it can be really difficult to decipher it, especially if you've read 50 or 60 other forms already. I hope that's useful. I think I may have lost you. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi, how are you doing? Have we lost the others, or are they still with us?
Right, I think it's just a lot of technical glitch today.
Oh, no worries. I think it's amazing that you guys have set this up. I think it's truly amazing. Oh, I'm very happy. Very happy to carry on supporting it, and I'm happy to come back and give a session on the interview as well if that's nearer the time.
That's very useful, Simon. I mean, you've been truly, truly amazing and truly, really useful to, and I think everyone would feel the same when it comes to your guidance today.
Well, we just need to get as many
and thank you.
Best of luck, everybody. I really, really wish you the best of luck, and look forward to seeing your applications.
Thank you for your time, Simon. Thank you. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Khalid.
ايوه اي كان هير سوري
لا بس ده كنت عايز اشوف اذا الباقيين عندهم اذا في زول عنده حاجه ثانيه ولا حاجه قبل ما نقفل السيشن
تمام معليش يا شباب على التكنيكال جليتش الليله كان في كميه من المرقه والدخله لكن انا افتكر it was as smooth as it can be شايف منزي رافع يده ممكن منزي تتفضل
السلام عليكم
وعليكم السلام
شكرا جزيلا على السيشن الظريف ده يعني الناس كانت محتاجة وفعلا انا بس عايز اسال يعني انا شفت سيشن لدكتور هاني قبل فتره في يوتيوب يعني عن نفس الحاجه هو ما في تضارب لكن يعني مثلا هو بس قال استخدم بوليت بوينتس وكده يعني في الورد بسيطه ما بتكفي انه انت تكتب اكزامبلز وبرضه تكتب الحاجات في ناس فينا يعني الاكسبيرينس ما بتكفي انه انت تكتب كل مثلا الكلينيكال سكيلز حقتك وتدي اكزامبلز برضه عليها يعني فالاولويه لشنو يعني انا مرات بتخلي حاجات برا انه هو يحاول يطلعها من الستوري يعني لكن اذا هم حيكونوا فيري بيزي ودايرين حاجات واضحه بس 1 2 3 it makes it difficult انه انت تكتب ستوري وهل الستوري دي حتخليهم بالعكس يعني يمروا بس في الهناء حقك يعني في الابلكيشن حقك ويمشوا يعني ولا
كلامك طبعا فيري كلامك is relatable يا منذر طبعا بالذات عندهم اكسبيرينس طويله بيحاولوا ان هم طبعا يدخلوا اكثر حاجات ممكنه في الابلكيشن بتاعهم. انا افتكر انك انت الاولويه انك انت تكون حاجاتك واضحه، الاولويه انك تكتب بوينتس not to sound very boring at the same time، لكن ما تكون بس انك انت بس عباره عن بترص في الحاجات اكثر من انك انت تديها زي ما يقولوا بعد ثاني زياده. الحكايه بتاعت الستوريز دي في الحته بتاعت الكلينيكال اكسبيرينس از مور ريليتابل، لكن ما 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 بتتكتب في حته بتاعت السكيلز، ما بتتكتب في حته مثلا بتاعت الريسيرش، ما بتتكتب في الحته بتاعت التيتشنج. فهي اكتر حاجه في الكلينيكال اكسبيرينس اند ريفليكشن. افتكر الكلام بتاع سايمون الليله انه ان الناس ان هم حيعدوا على ابلكيشنز كثيره ما كان بالنسبه لنا معروف، دي معلومه جديده انه هم حيكونوا very strict on shortlisting السنه دي. فانا I think to maximize the point انت you need to be very to make it like an easy read if that makes sense. انه البقرة الكلام ما يعاني انه يطلع الكلام من بين السطور. فافتكر اهم شيء يتعامل في الابلكيشن السنه دي انه على حسب كلام سايمون الليله انه الناس تكون واضحه، تكون دايركت وتدي امثله، لكن ما يعني ما تكثر من الحشو باختصار كده. هاني رايك
ممكن اضيف حاجه؟ انا داير اقول لك حاجه بس تذكرت حته مهمه، الحته بتاعت البوليت بوينتس. بس داير اقول لك حاجه تكنيكال، الناس بتاعين الاوريال ديب في حته كاتبينها في الابلكيشن جايدنس انه كل البوليت بوينتس والماركينجز والحاجات اللي انت بتستخدمها لو عملت مجمل لو عملت شنو ده كله will disappear once they download your application. هم طبعا ما حيدوا الابلكيشن بشكل الحالي ده طوالي كده للمصححين، اللي بيعملوه داونلود وكله will be downloaded in one sheet كويس او PDF format او whatever الطريقه اللي هم يعملوا بيها وبيدوا لهم. هم they clearly stated انه كل البوليت بوينتس will disappear. فانت عشان كده تخلي الجمله بتاعتك واضحه، الحاجه الوحيده اللي هتقعد هي الفول ستوب ات ذا اند اوف ذا سنتنس. انا عشان كده حتى جدول الابلكيشنز اللي شفتها كنت بقول للناس ما تستعملوا الكوماز والحاجات دي ات ذا اند اوف ذا سنتنس، يو هاف تو يوز الفول ستوب، لان دي الحاجه الوحيده اللي هتفضل وانس ذا داونلود الابلكيشن. انا ما عارف دي حاجه تكتيكال عندهم في الاوريال، وانس نزلوا الحاجات حاجه كلها عندهم بتختفي البوليت بوينتس وبتختفي. فلو عملتها بشكل بوليت بوينتس بشكل جمل ما مترابطه مع بعض الزول بيحس بانه يعني زي اللي بيتعثر في الحجار كده، عرفت انه قام لي جمله فجاه قام لي جمله ثانيه وفجاه قام لي جمله ثالثه من غير ما يكون في رابط واضح لوجيكال بيناتهم. فتراي بس تو ميك ات بالطريقه دي، لكن زي ما قال خالد بس اختار الحاجات المحطات الكبيره في حياتك لو انت عندك اكسبيرينس طويله وخدتها ما في حل، ما في الاخر يعني يو هاف تو مانج في الويرد ليميت الخاتين اللي انا درست تسوي شنو.
في تاني منه رافع يده عشان قبل ما نختم، في مها تفضل يا مها.
اوكي كان يو ستوب ذا لايف اون فيسبوك ناو فروم يور سايد؟ يس خش يا مها معلش.
الو السلام عليكم. معلش اول حاجه شكرا جزيلا على السيشن الجميل ده، وشكرا لك هاني سمعت اللكشه بتاعتك في اليوتيوب.